Let me present you with a scenario. Person is totally blind, yet they're driving a car down the road. Is that a recipe for something good to happen or something bad to happen? Or suppose you are a sports enthusiast, you're at a baseball game, and it's your turn to go up to bat. Only one problem, you're blind. Now, do you think your chances of hitting the ball are good? Or are your chances of striking out good? Well, we know the answer to both of those situations. Without good, clear vision, we can't see if there's danger ahead. We can't see if we're about to run into a tree or fall into a hole. Without good, clear vision, we don't see the baseball. We don't know whether to swing or get out of the way. Of course, the point is that without good eyes, our sense of reality is distorted. Our sense of reality is distorted if we cannot see clearly. And this is Jesus' intention in this passage. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Jesus is telling us that the eyes we have, were given to us by God to direct us in the right way. Good eyes give good information about the path we are to take. Bad eyes, blindness, distorts everything. We don't know whether to step to the right or step to the left. We don't know if we take a step forward, what's going to happen, or if we take a step back, what's going to happen. Because blindness, bad eyesight, distorts reality. Let me give you a quick example. Without my glasses on, everybody is blurred. I know you're there, but you're blurred. And if Toby, I know Toby and Angelina, sit back in this corner. Now, next Sunday, if they decide they're going to sit on this side, all during the church service, I'm going to wonder, who are these people? Why? Because I don't have good eyesight far away. It distorts my eyesight. It's so bad. It distorts reality. Well, just as physical eyesight can distort reality, spiritual eyesight, if it's bad, it's going to distort reality. Spiritual eyes, or the mind that cannot discern God's will always distort reality and will always lead us in the direction of away from Christ instead of to Him. But a mind that is renewed by the Holy Spirit and guided by the Word of God as founded in the Scriptures will give us good eyesight, will show us reality, and show us how to walk with Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. See, bad spiritual eyesight. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, because if you do, your reality is distorted. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, get good spiritual eyesight. When I get good spiritual eyesight, what happens? Paul says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You go to the ophthalmologist, he helps you see. Jesus says, if you want to spiritually see, you need to go to the Word. The Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Word gives you clear spiritual eyes and does not distort reality, but presents to you reality. It allows us to discern God's will for our life. But our minds that are not renewed lead us in the opposite direction, away from Christ. Have you ever thought, you know, our country is experiencing so much chaos right now. So much chaos. And just in the last 2 weeks, Dr. Seuss has been outlawed. Can you believe it? There's just so many things that are going on that just seem unreal to us. Why? Well, it's because years ago, one generation ago, maybe two generations ago, the country rejected, the culture rejected the Scriptures as the Word of God. And so then we're left with the only alternative is that through human reason, we try to determine the right path to take. And of course, we see what we have today. After years of rejecting God's revelation, our culture is in chaos because we don't know what's true. We don't know what's good. We don't know what God would have us do. But it's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, it is a really good thing that you and I, being Christians, we have good eyesight, good spiritual eyesight, and we can discern reality. It's a good thing that we are not vulnerable to distorting reality and pursuing the wrong path, is it not? Stop for a moment. Think about this passage. It is easy to forget that the Sermon on the Mount was not directed to the masses. It was directed to the disciples. Of course, there were others who heard Jesus preaching. But what he had to say was directed towards the disciples. Peter, James, John. Those who followed Christ. Don't you find it quite interesting that Jesus sees that it is a necessity to remind the disciples, do not store up for yourselves riches on earth, but riches in heaven. You can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. They were with Jesus all the time. They saw his miracles. They heard his teachings. When they were hungry, Jesus provided the fish and the loaves. And eventually, the disciples would witness the resurrection and then the ascension of Jesus Christ. Didn't they have good spiritual eyes? Didn't they have a renewed understanding of reality? Why then does Jesus think it necessary that he directs his Sermon on the Mount not to the masses, but to the church, and especially the leadership of the church. Well, as the creator of all things and being the one who has perfect knowledge of the creation, Jesus knows what's in the hearts of all people. He knows that even though they were not created this way, yet since the fall, mankind has a natural bent to distort reality. Both saints and sinners, John the beloved disciples, Judas the betrayer, both Moses and Pharaoh, they are all born with a natural desire to worship the self and cleave to the creation instead of the Creator. Paul, in speaking about this universal blemish upon mankind, says in Romans chapter 1, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Even Christians, though we have been delivered from the power of sin, yet we still have this struggle within us, this struggle between wanting to love Christ and wanting to love the world, wanting to live in the kingdom of God and wanting to live in the kingdom of man. We have this struggle, and it goes on day by day, moment by moment. Prophet Hosea says that God's people are determined to turn from Him. Prophet Jeremiah, speaking through the Holy Spirit, says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns that cannot hold water. In both of these scripture passages, it is God's people who are being accused of forsaking God. This has been the history. This has been the history of the people of God. Immediately after being delivered from the flood, what happens to Noah? He gets drunk. What happens to his sons? They fall into idolatry. Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, they all had the privilege of living there when they could hear Isaac, their father, talk. They had the privilege of listening to their grandfather, Abraham. Yet Esau shakes off the yoke of his family and worships strange gods. Immediately after the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, what did they do? Golden calf. Let's go back to Egypt. Remember all the onions and the good things we had to eat there? As the people get ready to go into the promised land, Joshua reaffirms the covenant and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And all the people said, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And then Joshua says, all right, you're going to do it. You're going to keep the covenant. Then get rid of all the foreign gods that you have and that are stashed and hidden in your tents. And of course, we have seen from our passage this morning that 870 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Elijah, he's challenging the people of Israel because of their idolatry. He says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal is God, then follow him. See, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to observe that mankind, and even the church, is prone towards false worship. When we neglect the revelation of Jesus Christ as found in the scriptures, then the only thing that we have to determine what's right and wrong and the path to take is our own reason. But our reason is flawed. It is affected by sin. I know mine is. And I think the scriptures say that yours is too. Even for the people of God, the temptation is to serve something else but Jesus Christ. And Jesus understood this about his disciples. And that's why he directs this entire sermon to them. And they needed to hear it. Because in the years to come, their faith was going to be tested. Oh, please go back and read the book of Acts and the struggles and the persecution of the disciples. And a lot of their struggles, a lot of their persecution could be eliminated if they would choose Baal. If they would choose false religion, if they would choose the wrong way. No, they chose Christ. And they were all killed because of it. Well, see, our tendency is just like their tendency. Our tendency is to forsake God and worship the created order. The old hymn says it best, and we sang it this morning. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Do you feel that? Oh man, I do. There are times that I just want to quit. I want to be left alone. Holy Spirit, just leave me alone. Quit bothering me about my sin. You know, you remember when you were in elementary school and somebody was saying something that you didn't like? You remember what you did? You put your fingers in your ear. So you couldn't hear. Oh, aren't we like that sometimes? The Holy Spirit confronts us with things and we just want to cover our ears and not pay attention. See, Jesus knew the disciples. Oh, he knows us as well. You know, it's one thing to be sick and you know it. That's probably a better situation to be in, because if you know you're sick, then you can actually take steps to alleviate that sickness. But to be sick and feel fine, that's a recipe for disaster. When the Holy Spirit troubles you because of sin in your life, that's a good thing. Don't put your fingers in your ears. That's a good thing. What is bad is when the Holy Spirit no longer troubles you because your situation is bad and the Holy Spirit just kind of washed his hands and said, all right, you wouldn't listen. I'm going to leave you to yourself. To be deathly ill and feel great, it's a bad situation. When we are serving Baal, when we are serving money and earthly treasure, and we're not convicted of it, that's a recipe for disaster. Notice what Elijah says. He says, why do you waver between two opinions? Why do you waver between two opinions? And notice that these people, as well as us, They're not people who have rejected the Lord completely. They've just decided they're going to worship God in the way that they want to worship God. When it behooves them to follow God's commandments, well, they do that. But when it is beneficial for them in an earthly sense to follow Baal, well, they're going to do that too. And so they take a little bit of true worship of Yahweh and worship of Baal, and they put them together and mix them together, and then they say, we are following the Lord. But what they've really done is created an entire different religion. Created an entire different religion. And so when we take the things of the earth and we make them our God, but yet at the same time we're claiming that we follow Jesus, and that then we assimilate the things of the world into the worship of Christ, you're creating a religion of your own. It's not Christianity that you believe. It is not Christ that you follow. It is your own religion, and it is Baal worship. Bad eyes distort reality. If our minds are not being transformed by what the scriptures say, then your minds are being transformed by what the culture says. There's no neutrality. You either follow God or you follow Baal. What have you set your heart upon? What is your treasure? What light illumines your path that you walk down? Is it the Lord, or is it the things of the earth? Let me tell you, the things of the earth are not bad in and of themselves, but they will never satisfy. Never. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Trinity, that's where you find supreme happiness, peace, contentment. You remember when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus because she wanted to hear him speaking. And of course, you know, Martha got upset because Martha's in the kitchen and she needed help, and Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus. And so Martha says to Jesus, Jesus, tell her to get in the kitchen and help me. And how did Jesus respond? Martha, Martha, you are troubled by many things, but there is only one thing that is needful, and that is listening to the Master speak. We too should take every opportunity to sit at the feet of Christ and learn from Him. The Lord is a treasure. He is a treasure. All that you could ever desire is found in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the parable that Jesus teaches, when you find the buried treasure in the field, go sell everything you've got in order to buy that field so you can have that treasure. Friend, put the world behind you and buy the field and the treasure of Christ, because that is where your heart will find peace, happiness, contentment, joy. Even when things start to fall apart in your life, let the word of Christ comfort you. Let the word of Christ define what is happening in your life. It's not by accident that the flow of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says you can't serve God and money, the next thing he's going to teach is what? Therefore, I tell you, don't worry. Don't worry. You know what Jesus says more than anything else in all of the Bible? This may surprise you. More than anything else, he says to the church, don't be afraid. Don't do it. Don't be afraid. Jesus, look what's happening to me. Why shouldn't I be afraid? Because my eye is on the sparrow and my eye is upon you. And just as I hold the kings of the earth in my hand, I hold you in my heart. There is no reason to fear, no reason to worry. As the psalmist says that we read this morning, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you begin to truly know him, you're never going to be satisfied with just one bite. You know, remember the TV commercial about potato chips? Can't just eat one. No, once you come to know Christ, oh, I've read Matthew. I can't stop there. I want to read more. I want to read more. I want to know Christ, as Paul says. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He is that treasure. And you were made. The reason that you are here, the reason that you exist, you were made for him. You were made to glorify God and enjoy him. That's why you were made. That's why you exist. You will not find that comfort and joy in the things of the world because you were not made for the world. You were made for Christ. And that's why the peace that passes all understanding will be in your life as you focus upon him. Oh, preacher, I don't know. I do not see at this point how Christ is as good as you say. I want him to be that. But I do not understand that. Well, friend, you do not understand that because you do not know Christ as you should. You see, but you don't see clearly. You let the things of the earth distort reality. But if you let the Holy Spirit, using the word of God, transform the way you think, then you will see Christ for all he is. The reason that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the church is not simply to apply the work of Christ to us, but to direct our hearts to Christ. You can't serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and Baal. One you will love, the other you will hate. You can't waver between two opinions. Notice that Jesus does not say, he does not say, you should not. Nor does he say, you must not. Instead, he says, You cannot serve both God and the things of the earth. One you will love, the other you will despise. You can't ride the fence. Either you're for Christ or you're against Christ. And so I challenge you this morning with the words of Moses. Who is on the Lord's side? Then let him come to the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? Then let him come to the Lord. Are you on the Lord's side? Do you have good spiritual eyes? Can you perceive true reality? Or is your heart dedicated to the things of the earth? Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly